So when people are connected to this deeper aspect of themselves, they become strongly self-managing of their behavior without external inputs, without supervision. They also start to support others in that pursuit.
Welcome back to Business Second Opinion Podcast. We're excited to bring you another season in our first episode of season four. But first, we want to thank our sponsor for Business Second Opinion, Guayaki. I actually just ordered a case of lemon elation from my local grocery store, as it turns out my kids have been swiping my stash. Through this challenging time, Guayaki continues to brew an enlivening beverage from a naturally caffeinated and nourishing leaf from a species of holly that you all know known as mate. It contains 24 vitamins and minerals, 15 amino acids, and abundant polyphenols. My daughter, funny enough, actually looked up the background on mate, and she goes, "Zach, do you know that this stuff has like a bunch of vitamins in it? I actually drink it for the caffeine, but the vitamins definitely help." We hope you're going to check out this great beverage with your friends and family, and let us know what you think. Business Second Opinion Podcast digs deep to explore questions about business and business practice. And in the process of examining them, we give you a second opinion. As you know by now, a contrarian opinion, but one that's well-tested and proven to give you the outcomes you want without the nasty side effects. And by the way, if you want to learn more about how to work with us more closely, stay tuned at the end of the show. I'm Zach Swartout. And with me as always is Carol Sanford, our in-house positive contrarian, responding to big hard questions with a radically different take. Hey, Carol.
Hey, Zach. How are you?
Good, good. So, new season. Where are we headed?
Yeah, I know. I'm excited about this, even though we kind of live in a crazy world right now. And as a result of that, we're going to work on really big questions this season, like ones that affect democracy and dealing with what we're watching happen with the climate crisis and racism and many more. And I think we decided, tell me if this is true, we decided to reveal more of what's going on behind how we think about these articles and ideas that we're critiquing and giving a second opinion to. And of course, we're still going to continue to value the comments of our listeners and the suggestions about articles that we might give a second opinion on.
Yes. And to that end, we got an article suggested for second opinion from Susan Gladwell, who's actually a change agent community member. So the article she sent us is from this past February's Harvard Business Review titled, "Every Leader Needs to Navigate These Seven Tensions." So Carol, let's give people a sense of why we decided to take this one on.
Oh, well, it explains all the problems that have put us in crisis at the moment. It explains how we think about climate or don't, why we think about health or don't, and all the economics, the biases, and all the things related to that are not really being faced up to correctly. The entire article is about why we end up choosing between two options and how we turn it into dichotomies that they represent. It's how we get stuck as individuals and as institutions in what we call a two-term world. So there are polarities like right and wrong, good and bad, red and blue politics, and it's a crazy trap that is totally unnecessary.
And it's more than moving from but to and, right? And in the case of this article, it's about navigating two management styles instead of one. The authors, by the way, are Jennifer Jordan, Michael Wade, and Elizabeth Turicino. And the article is from the February 2020 issue of HBR.
But these tensions are all artificial. I mean, if you change the level you look at it, get some perspective, you could see something different, but you're trapped in the two terms. And this way of thinking in business, they tend to spread broadly these ideas out into families, into school systems, and to how we govern. It's bad for business to be thinking in polarities, but it's also bad for democracy and how society works, as you are probably fully aware of right now.
The first tension is the expert versus the learner. They describe this as the tension between needing to have a deep knowledge about a certain subject as an expert, but also the willingness to know when you don't know something about another subject and needed to learn it from others, which seems harmless enough, no?
Yeah, but what do they say about why it matters? And what are they recommending as a way to balance these out, if that's what they're talking about, and relieve the tension, as they say?
Right. Okay. Yeah. Good point. Okay. So they're saying that in the example they give from the co-founder of Pandora, which is the music streaming platform, he knew the music industry really well, but he didn't understand newer tech business models. So in this case, it was a freemium business model, which they eventually came to. So while he had the expertise in developing the music algorithm, he knew he needed help developing the business model to appropriately get it into the hands of customers. So navigating that knowing and not knowing is how Pandora survived and thrived. At least that's what the authors claim. So what are they missing then, Carol?
Well, the problem is that the expert epistemology is an old paradigm. It comes from the idea of hierarchy. Someone at the top is smarter than those who are at the bottom, and they should be guiding everyone else. We have to go to a completely new paradigm where everyone's focused on collaboratively developing themselves. I mean, agreeing they all need development and they're engaging. And what I think becomes a better reference point than the expert is what I call corporate direction. So corporate direction has that external force I talked about earlier. And one of the reasons I work with businesses is because the market decides.
Yeah, but the example they give here doesn't give a clear sense of a path through. And I think that's part of my struggle. It's like I'm left feeling that I need to be self-aware enough to know that I have incomplete knowledge about something and I just need to ask for help. Really, it's that. That's it. It's just I'm kind of left with this feeling. I just ask for help. That's the solution.
So systems need to reimagine the entire design of how they work. They need this third force that can be seen where you let go of expert as one path and let go of learner, and you shift paradigms to all people are developable. And each of them can be smarter. And they need to learn to connect to the system. They have to think that we can simultaneously develop, serving the market and stakeholders. And everyone is doing that, including leaders. The North Star is no longer the expert's opinion, which they refer to, but a process that involves an entire strategic team that is doing first draft thinking together based on what they're serving externally. Then they can immediately engage the entire organization and everyone in it has a role. So the whole process is infused with development of everyone in it as you work.
You know, I heard you describe seventh generation strategy team at one point, which was reflective of the entire organization in levels, functions, and perspectives while actually having membership that changed over the years. So because of the mix of members, the ideas that were developed went immediately into all aspects of the organization at the end of each meeting.
The strategic thinking events were infused with development, which also that team was always engaged with a brand new framework to do what they were going to do. We stretched each member without regard to rank or title. They worked with these new ways of thinking as they went along and they learned and developed and they did personal and team reflections. They built new ways of translating things into working as they went out. The process pushed everyone to learn and develop while they got work done. And each person took accountability for being understood and for evolving it across the organization. So they grew personally. Jeffrey Holler used to say, you know, the way we work changed my company. It changed my life and it was good for my soul.
So I think most people can't really understand this story, right? It feels impossible, the idea of development while working at the same time. I think most people think they need to go on a retreat or have everyone go into a conference room all day to do leadership training outside of the normal everyday work. So Carol, what does this way of polarized thinking imply for people doing that kind of work? And for that matter, how does that affect our democracy and other systemic challenges?
Businesses, when you have to learn and grow and experts from top to bottom, makes all change incredibly slow. It makes it really incomplete and it's crippling to the bottom line. They miss so many potential opportunities for people to develop, for supply systems, as far as that goes, to become more creative, for innovation in the market. So it's bad for business by every measure. But I also want to say, in this nation, in the world we're in, we are pretty much third force blind and we can't see another way because we're so stuck in the good guys and the bad guys, the good way and the bad way. Two things can't happen at once. And we think that there are trade-offs that have to be made and compromises, like this article says.
So speaking of the article, let's actually look at the second tension, which is called the constant versus the adapter. So the authors set up the polarization as the idea of sticking to your guns as a leader versus being willing to change course in response to new information.
This particular one of the constant versus the adapter is interesting, since the story ends again with this apology for not being emergent. So first, the idea of emergent is not a very useful idea, since it actually comes from classical physics, more like a modification of physics of progression. So it's stuck still in two forces, when it's the fixed force versus the adaptive force, and that can be just as damaging because it's a lower level strategic process.
So people are looking to the external world for guidance on when and what to pursue. They're watching what's happening and adapting to the external, and their eyes are facing outward to what's changing and then changing themselves. It's like there's no core or center really to the whole thing. So what is the third force here then, Carol?
We've spoken about this many times, but given the quadruple crisis we're in now and people are struggling at this critical time, we need to talk about how it is you can choose another place as a reference source.
Right. So people are trying to do one of three things, if I remember, actually, because I think I know where you're going here. You spoke about this for the Social Venture Circle webinar that we're actually going to link to in the show notes for people. So they try first to adhere to what's known by exclaiming, get us back to the familiar and what's manageable, right? And if they can't do that, they try to adopt either what is working for others or getting others to adopt our way of doing things. And the third way is adapting. So making changes to fit a new unfolding reality and seizing opportunities to participate in the shifts that are coming. Adapt certainly seems like a better option than sticking to the old way or just adopting a whole new way that others are pursuing. At least they get to keep some of their own path.
The third force in this case comes from a rudder. It comes from a couple of things, connecting this greater whole we talked about, but also it comes from connecting not to what we did and keep some of our own path, as you said, but it comes from the essence of the business or the essence of a person. You don't want to give up or let go of your own unique being, not become self-centered like adaptation usually comes from. We're trying to survive, so we adapt. These global imperatives, and then what that tells us about our own unique positioning based on those two.
Yeah, so most adaptations have nothing to do with these three questions, I think. And yet they're shown in research and practice to be the best direction in a violent storm. And I can see how the global imperatives help us pay attention to the climate crises. How are the others good third force guides for bigger issues?
Essence is a core foundation. And as you said, essence is a way to regenerate economic systems. We want a person to be able to know and express their essence and overcome the tendency to standardize work. So when people are connected to this deeper aspect of themselves, they become strongly self-managing of their behavior without external inputs, without supervision. They also start to support others in that pursuit and in societies and want everyone to do well in expressing their own essence. Where we have these simple classifications based on behavior and skin color and belief systems, we can't see the uniqueness of each person, each family, each unique place, each business.
You know, I feel like adaptation leaves me and us asking how to change based on a world that doesn't actually take essence into account. So if businesses can see how important it is to their own success for the business as a whole and each person in it, it's likely to spread to families, education, and other social systems, I'd imagine. As we've discussed before, all these systems are awash in degraded practices of behavior modification and feedback that ultimately undermine healthy societies and humans.
I wish we could look at all seven of these, but in this short podcast, we can't. But let me encourage all of you to go look at this third force exercise we're suggesting. I've written quite a few books that give some ideas that are designed to break up the paradigms and the way we get stuck in them. There are at least 50 business examples across my 5 books and dozens of examples and roles in how individuals can even change. So your exercise going forward is to look at any story or any design where you see people speaking from polarities, and where they set up a tension as though you had to somehow do that, and start to figure out a way to reconcile, which is what I did when I was working with communities and individuals, find the third force.
I like that idea a lot, actually. And would encourage people to work on this. It takes practice to see the third force at play. And in my journey of doing this work, there are no simple answers, as opposed to how many HBR articles seem to imply. For me, it's been a continual practice of working this way. At first, not actually seeing anything, and honestly thinking Carol was crazy. And then slowly, slowly seeing that a new perspective is possible in my thinking. But it takes work to break the habit of always assuming that the frame is a polarity and throwing up my hands, right? It just seems easier to think that way. And this ultimately is a blindness that takes work to overcome every time.
If we can slow down our tendency to do that and to leap to polarities, like that bad practice itself, we can get to a third force that is greater than either the others, as we said, and reconciles both of them simultaneously, plus more, like we talked about, impacts families and schools. And we can gather and we can begin to design our way out of the current set of polarities that we're embedded in.
So the invitation here, dear listener, is to watch yourself, as your idea to overcome the bad is usually just a reaction to the bad practice itself. It's not a third force unless it reconciles the polar idea to ours at the same time. And that takes some work to be open to that. It's why people on all sides of the issue join us here and read Carol's books, to be honest with you. The books and our ideas here are filled with third force thinking. So we're so glad to be back for a fourth season and linking our business ideas to societal, planetary, and bigger human questions here at Business Second Opinion. Check out carolsanford.com under Second Opinion for the show notes and some more details.
We need you 4 ways, like Susan Gladwell did today, recommending this article. SurveyMonkey has a place to do that if you search under Business Second Opinion. Second, please tell your friends to listen. We really want to triple the size of our audience this season. So we need your help in getting the word out. Third, give us a review. People do read them, and it helps let people know what we're about, why they should listen. And the fourth one is if you can help us fund the production cost of our show, that would be great. It costs about $10,000 a year to get the technical help, the platforms, the recording equipment. And on our website, on Business Second Opinion at carolsanford.com, there's a way to donate once or to pledge via Patreon, and you can click a button there.
And if you need more of what we give, Carol Sanford Institute has been offering developmental communities that we call seed communities for 40 years with online versions for about a decade. So we're getting pretty good at it. To start, what we're offering is a set of free morning meetings where we look at how to transform uncertainty into action based on living systems thinking approaches. These meetings are designed to inform our lives in terms of crisis, your daily decisions and actions, and how you help others. So go ahead and search on Facebook for the Regenerative Life Communities Group. Answer the questions posed and you're in. And, or, you can join Carol's newsletter at carolsanford.com to get more information on upcoming events.
And please do keep listening to Business Second Opinion for more ideas on working with regenerative paradigms and practices, and send us your questions. My new book, The Regenerative Life, has book clubs attached to it if you buy in bulk. And it's supported by workbooks and online workshops. Again, more at carolsanford.com.
Thanks again to our sponsors at Guayaki in your pursuit of regeneration with high integrity, and to Numi Tea, who sponsors the show notes. If you want one of our Get a Second Opinion mugs, send us one of your articles or topic on practices in business that you think need a second opinion. You can email us at carol@businesssecondopinion.com or find us on Twitter at @biz_second_opinion. If we use it to develop an episode, you get a mug. Also, your ratings and reviews on any platform help people find us and spread the word. Sign up for our newsletter also so you can get connections and find out more in the show notes.
And finally, thank you to NumiT. They sponsor our Business Second Opinion show notes and transcripts. And thank you to Babson College for sponsoring the Regenerative Business Summit and the prize annually. You can check out more about those on Business Second Opinion website and more about this podcast. And if you'd love to, join NumiT as a champion for this podcast. Thank you so much for joining us.
This has been Business Second Opinion.